Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, we had two nice days this week, so there you go.
Are you saying that as a positive? Because I want more.
Yeah.
I'm going to be greedy about my weather wanting here. And we need some nice, beautiful, sunny weeks. I don't want days. I want weeks.
Temps are getting better, 70s, but we need sun.
Okay, I did see a spattering of a few more boats out on the river, which is how I gauge the weather and what and season for what is happening. But yes, for the real estate world, we would definitely like a little bit more of some consistent weather patterns around here. But one thing it has not done yet is cooled off the housing market. We still are continuing to be operating in a low inventory and healthy market as far as looking at price wise, even though you would think by reading the headlines, you would think that the real estate market is just 1 foot away from crashing. If you read CNN and all of the different headlines, Money Magazine, I mean, it just goes on and on. There, it seems to be, that tide of publicity doesn't really represent exactly what's going on in the Tri-Cities market. But what does happen is stories that get released that there are some facts and figures in there that people should be paying attention to. So we're going to go over some of that today. Before we get to that, though, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And McKay, your local boy, Rams, Cooper Kupp. We talked earlier in the year that he had a house for sale.
Yes.
And we thought, what is he going to buy? Well, we don't know. We still don't know that yet. But that house that we featured, I always like to do these follow-ups. The house that we featured, he finally got it sold. And made a healthy little profit on that thing. So he had picked the house up not too long ago. So when we look at it, he had picked the house up back in March of 21, but he priced it at over $2 million more when he went to sell it. And he did have to reduce the price $850,000, but still made over $1 million on the sale.
Wow!
So so that thing is gone and sold. And what I'm waiting for is the article later of what they purchased. Now there were some rumors going around. They had purchased actually in Oregon in Wilsonville. They had purchased a very, very nice $2.5 million property there. So,
wow.
So some movement there in that real estate world, in that off season real estate world there. So fun to see those get listed and then actually get sold. But here's one where we looked at somebody that obviously did a price drop, obviously did what they had to do to get that property sold.
Yes.
So we're going to talk a little bit that today with our topic. But one of our listeners that I talked to actually ran into one of our listeners this week when I was out and about, and he said to me, he's like, Lance, I'm a little bit concerned about just the financial markets in general, and not the financial markets, but people spending in general. People, he goes, I don't think we've seen the full result of inflation on people that are on fixed incomes.
Yeah.
And I think he was right. So he said that to me when I saw him today. I actually saw him at Subway. He knows who he is. And we had this discussion. As I said, I'm going to do a little bit of research behind that and see exactly what that looks like. So listen to this. Here's a great example of what he was talking about. And I think this is a great leading indicator point. So since 2012, consumer credit, okay, so amount people are buying on credit has risen $15 to $20 billion a month, okay?
Wow.
Non-revolving credit, which includes student and auto loans, accounts for two-thirds of the monthly rise, okay? Now, here's the issue. Revolving credit, which is what is known in the industry as credit card accounts, comprises the rest. So since November of 21, not too long ago, consumer credit growth has averaged over $30 billion a month.
Wow.
Okay, so now we were talking about prior to that, 15 to 20. In February, these numbers have come out now. In February, it was $37
billion. Wow.
Okay, right about the time inflation comes up, okay? And then gas starts costing more. But people are making, you know, wage growth hasn't adjusted to that inflation growth. And in March, $52.4
billion. Wow.
And you know who's happy about this? Credit card growth of $31.4 billion. Lower incomes are borrowing as real income slide. That's the result of that. And those numbers are not exciting numbers.
No.
Because when we look at, it's one of the biggest things that impacts credit score. And when we look at that and people have payments on those revolving accounts, those go negatively against your pre-approvals. For the amount that you're able to purchase and what your borrowing power is in a home mortgage situation. And so when we look at that, those inflationary numbers, I really feel this is what I call like a leading edge indicator of what we're going to see later. So just a little nugget out there of what's going on there from one of our listeners. He made a great point. He said to me, I got to think this is what's going on. And I said, you know what? That is a brilliant statement. I'm doing a little research there. And it was exactly right. Like nailed it on that leading indicator. So something just to watch out for. And that's one of the reasons we talked about, you know, we've seen so many multiple offers in our lower price points. And that still is the case. We still are seeing a lot of multiple offers. But if this continues with more rate hikes and the rates go higher, we will eventually see that number come down. So how are we functioning in a changing market? That's a big thing for us to talk about. One of the things that comes up a lot, and I've been hearing a lot about lately, is what happens in a changing market? What are some of the things in real estate that become affected by that? And what do we need to consider? So a big question that's come up a couple times, and I've heard more and more about this in the last 2 weeks, and we always take what people are asking us in the community and our transactions and bring that to the radio show. And the big question has come up to pre-inspect or not pre-inspect your home before putting it on the market. I know people have heard about this on the radio. They've seen advertisements for this, and they have questions about, do I need an inspection before I go on the market? What does that look like? And so people will call us and talk to us about that. And you really, I think you really have like the car industry to kind of thank for this trend, because what do you get in the auto industry? You get certified pre-owned, right? You see that all over the place. The mechanics have gone through it. Our shop has gone through it. We've done that. And we're confident that this, you know, this car meets requirements.
Yes.
Some will even offer a limited warranty based upon that certified pre-owned, like if anything happens in a number of months or days. Well, that really is when that became popular, when people in real estate started to say, gosh, if that's a great idea for cars, maybe we should apply the same principle to houses. So what are some of the advantages of that? So this seems like a great idea on the surface, but we are going to talk about both sides of that equation. So what are some of the examples of that? Well, number one is in your advertising, you can advertise ready to go. Like this home has already been pre-inspected. That's an advertising bonus, I would say. I think most people would see that in a positive light. if you're a buyer that has gone through having a home under inspection and then have it fall apart because you had a terrible inspection, that advertising would play really, really well to that particular buyer because somebody emotionally, they're not going to want to go through that again. So for a certain segment of the population, that might be great advertising tactic. Same thing goes on the opposite side of the coin for the seller. This might be a great idea for the seller because they're going to start looking for a new property. They're ready to move to their new house. Maybe they're relocating for their job. Seller might say, man, once I get under contract with a buyer, I don't want this thing falling apart. Like I want to know, I don't want to wait 10 days while there's an inspection and then 5 additional days while there's a new inspector. You know, sometimes they can request additional inspections. I don't want to wait 2.5 weeks and then find out that someone's backing out. Like, and so a seller might say, this is why I want to do that. Another thing that pops up sometimes is they might, some people are very, very particular about their home and they take immense pride in their home. Like I've seen, and I mean, as having for sellers, these are like some of my greatest sellers of all time because their house is always in perfect condition. Some sellers want to know that they're selling a perfect home in their eyes. So if there was anything going on with the house, for certain personality types, they might want to know about it ahead of time and get those repairs done before they even go on the market. So they're confident they're selling a near perfect home when they go to sell.
Yes.
And then the last advantage that I really wrote down in that situation is a lot of people find that this can gain trust with the buyer, meaning you're saying to the buyer, I've already had the house inspected. Here's everything going on with it. We fixed all of this. And so you're locking in trust with a buyer in that situation. So those are the positive things about it. Now, McKay, if we ended the radio show right now and didn't do the second half of the show or didn't talk about it, you might say, my gosh, Lance, I'm getting a pre-home inspection. Yeah. Well, we probably should do the rest of the show.
Yes.
Okay, because there is a flip side to this coin. Like, why is this even a question, Lance? Well, here's why this has become a question. Because in real estate, there's laws that govern disclosure sellers have to make when they sell a property.
Yes.
And generally, that comes down to, I mean, these are long 5-page disclosures, lots of questions. And that generally comes down to everything you know about a property. So here's where the crux of the argument comes into play. And that is that there's home inspections, but there is a gray area of what people would call subjective opinion based upon the different inspectors that you have come. It's kind of one of those things where you might have 3 different home inspectors, but if you, in a perfect world, you would get the exact same 3 home inspection reports. You're not going to get that in that industry. It's not a perfect, like every single property is the same. So you might get 3 pretty close reports, but you might get little differences between them. It would be the same thing if you called 3 real estate agents out to give you a value. Highly unlikely you're going to get the same value from all 3 of those real estate agents. So
yes,
exactly the same. It's not a perfect science in that case. Well, once you have that report, and you have been given information about your house, you now know many, many more things about it that you now have to disclose
prior to even sales. So,
and before buyers write offers, they get the seller's disclosures in general and read through them. Standard practice is that they have those, they read through them. Well, now you have to include all of those findings from that pre-inspection report that you now know about the property. And what if there's something in that report that you as a seller disagree with, you think is more of an opinion and not actually a problem? So then if that becomes the case, you're going to have to provide some sort of documentation to rebuttal?
Yes.
Okay, that's not a real estate word I use every day, so excuse me for my
to counter it.
Yes, to counter that. So to come back, you're going to have to now hire somebody else to give another opinion. this could become a bigger problem than people think based upon what's found. And so, like a great example is, inspector says, it looks like there's been prior leakage through the roof in one section. Inspector finds that, notates it. So Mr. Seller is like, well, man, that's crazy. I'm going to have a roofer come out and look at it. Roofer comes out and looks at it. Inspector says, maybe it's a flashing problem or something. Roofer comes out and looks at it and says, you know what it was? It was an ice dam. And this happened when there was an ice storm and the ice dammed up. The water goes up, you know, over, you know, behind the flashing and comes through. There's really nothing we can do to fix that. It happened. It's not a problem anymore. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about to pre-home inspect or to not pre-home inspect. That is the question. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking a little bit before the break about some reasons why people decide to do it. And then we were just getting into some of the reasons about why it potentially... some of the negatives that it can bring up in that situation. Before mm-hmm. we do, though, I want to get out there with some absolutely some new inventory that is on the market. So I've got a pick three here. Pick number one, I've got 222 West Hatton Road. This is just outside of Connell. This is a sweet property. 7.2 acres. Surrounded, a beautiful setting, surrounded by fields. So if you're wanting to have, you know, some of that country feel, mm-hmm. We've got a 1800 square foot main house. And that's right. I say main home because I'm going to tell you this property has two homes on it.
Ooh.
Three bedroom, two bath, open floor plan, extra storage, oversized detached two car garage, 34 by 30, heated and insulated. Then there's a second two-bedroom, two-bath home on the property. There's a shop, and there are three RV hookups out wow. there. Okay, so the shop is 65 by 40, has a 14 by 14 roll-up door, 220 service.
Ooh.
Well pump is wired for a generator, just in case. And then there's some storage units also on the property, and this is coming in at, okay, listen to this. $555,000, wow. 7 acres, two homes on the property, RV hookups. I mean, this property, it truly has it all. Come take a look at this property. Pick number two, 1293 Lucy Avenue in Bend City. This is the Birch floor plan by Ambiance Homes. This is a three bedroom, two bath, great room concept. Located in Blacktop Estates, okay, and this is brand new construction, and this is coming in at $339,900. Okay, so,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, to find brand new constructions by Ambiance, they are crushing it in that market. If you've looked at stuff at $339,900 and you're not impressed, give us a call. We can talk to you about new construction. And then pick number three, right here in Pasco, for those people looking for an investment property, side business, side hustle investment property, we've got a six-bay self-serve car wash just down from the cable bridge, four vac islands, vending island, six-bay car wash, great repeat customer base from the surrounding area, and this is coming in at $250,000. So wow. for an investment property that you can pick up, car wash, great opportunity. That is broker owned. We have to give a disclaimer on that. That is licensed broker owned in the state of Washington. So those are some fantastic inventory that we have listed and put on the market. Before rates go any higher, give us a call so yeah. you can check those out. It really is a fantastic time now because there are some opportunities that we have for people. And so I did want to, before we go into the pre-inspection stuff, McKay, I forgot to mention in the fun celebrity real estate mm-hmm. story.
Yes.
I like to find humor in things that happen. And so, unfortunately, do you know the Outer Banks? Like, if you have teenage kids, there was a show even called Outer Banks.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay, so it's North Carolina, right on the ocean and stuff. Well, they had some brutal weather out there, and they've had high tides. Well, there were some homes that got swept like into the ocean.
Wow.
But people couldn't help themselves but to show pictures of that along with the Zestimate on Zillow. how much the home was worth. And so they were definitely saying there should be some updates. I think the most hilarious one that I saw, it said oceanfront, and then that was crossed out, and then it said near ocean, and then that one was crossed out, and then it just said houseboat for sale.
That's funny.
Afterwards, so just, you know, a little bit of social media fun is very important, and we do monitor that. But back to our local story, we were just getting into some of the mechanics of the negatives that can come out of a pre-inspection for sellers that might want to consider that. One of the things we're always looking at is not every strategy works in every market. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a great conversation with a seller earlier in the week where we met out at the house, and I said, look, 3 months ago, here's a strategy X that might have worked perfectly. And it would have been just fine. Like, we could have asked that price. We could have gone for that. No big deal at all. Now with A, B, and C in play, you know, and looking at interest rates and looking at the market and looking at where buyers are coming from. Now with that into play, instead of strategy X, I would really heavily consider strategy Y, which changes pricing a little bit, but gives us the potential for multiple offers, which might get you right back to the same price strategy X had. Mm-hmm. But if you just go in with the one size fits all, here's what we've been doing, here's the way to do it, we shouldn't change it all, you're going to get yourself in trouble in a shifting market.
Yes.
And so one of the things is that people have talked about is why I said, is people said, let's do pre-home inspections. We're competing against 20 or 30 houses. We want to showcase that ours is better than those other 20 or 30. And so let's do that. And I will take the risk of potentially finding things that I have to fix or that I have to over-disclose on. But in a hot market like we've had, especially if you're looking at price points and say, well, hey, below 400 days on the market are 7 or 8. Above 400, it could pops up to 25, 26 as an example. Do we really need to do a pre-home inspection when 30% of the time in that price point, we're seeing those inspection time periods reduced to 3 days or less, or we're seeing them waived? So if we have our seller hat on, and as a buyer's agent, it depends on which side of the equation you're representing here. Please note that as a buyer's agent, 100% of the time, we are not going to recommend waiving that home inspection. We are adamant in our company against that. But if somebody wants to take that risk to get a property, we help them through that process. But you are signing a disclaimer that says, you know, this is not the preferred way to do it.
Yes.
It might be in your particular case, but it's not, you know, what we would recommend overall. So just take that with a grain of salt. Do not soundbite me and say that this should not be done. Now, however, when we're talking with a seller, and I'm representing you, Mr. Seller, on this side of the fence, and it says like, hey, 30% of the time we're getting lower inspection days on the market, you know, days to get the inspection done. So we'll know quick. We won't be holding the property off the market nearly as long. Mm-hmm. Or they're waiving the inspection. If you get yourself into that situation, then we might not need to do a pre-home inspection. In fact, we probably don't. And, you know, I'm trying to get through the whole show without giving you my opinion exactly and the facts of each side of it. But in that situation, we probably won't. And so we got to look at that and say, because you have a better chance of limiting your exposure, finding things that you didn't know about anyway that also could be opinion and not really the facts. And then on top of that, the potential that somebody might just waive it overall, and you never have to go through any of that process. So it has to be market-based and know that. Now, we're not talking about things, and don't get me, you know, don't get me wrong on this. We're not talking about things that you know about. If there's stuff you know about that's wrong in the house, you have a full requirement to disclose.
Yeah.
We're talking about things that, you know, vegetation's a little too close to the wall, or, you know, we had the roof and then we had it repaired, and all of it's documented, all of it's provided. But things that could come up, or, you know, or slope of the driveway, you know, could cause water to run into the garage. Absolutely. If it's reverse slope, it could, but it never has. And so if you've owned it for 5 years, you've never seen that happen, you're going to put, has, you know, the flood ever occurred? Well,
no,
it hasn't. But at the same time, if you have a pre-inspection and that's on there, now the buyer's going to be thinking, oh my gosh, is this property going to flood? So you really have to weigh the risk versus reward. And then more importantly, the market conditions, you know, that's absolutely huge, is what does the market look like? What's different now from 4 months ago? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to respond in that situation? And then know too, as a seller, in fact, this has become such a hot topic in our industry that our forms were even updated in the last year and a half. So that when a buyer has a home inspection and they request repairs from the seller, unless the seller has agreed to see the home inspection report as a buyer, with our standard forms, you cannot send that to the seller, because once again, the seller, there might be things in there the seller does not want to know in case this transaction falls apart or is, you know, is conjecture and not fact. And so the seller doesn't need to have that on their disclosures. So it's gotten to the point that if you provide that, if you as a buyer now give the report to the seller, even by accident, your agent, you know, sends it off to the other agent and does that, you waive your inspection. Like that's that is the penalty for doing that, is that you waive the inspection. And so it's a big one. And so it's such a big topic. They've incorporated that into our form. So you definitely need to be careful navigating that as a seller, and you'll need to pay more attention to this as the market shifts back and forth, or changes happen in the market. Right now, folks, we are keeping a close eye on all of that, monitoring. There's so much going on in the real estate market right now with interest rates, changes in legislation, and what's happening overall in the economy. We're keeping a close eye on that, bringing that information to you here weekly, and at the same time, helping folks buy and sell in our local community here in the Tri-Cities.
Yep.
If you need any sort of consultations on either side of that, please go to kenmoreteam.com and feel free to reach out, and have an amazing week. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.